In the Limelight. The US President Donald Trump is currently the target of impeachment process, which should rightly remove him from the White House for the irreparable damage that he has done to the United States over the past 3 years. Stay with us for a satirical article by Tom Engelhart, co-founder of the American Empire Project and the author of A History of the Cold War, for TomDispatch.com website. The piece is titled Down the Rabbit Hole with Donald Trump. Stay with us for more of Tom Engelhart's article. There can be no question about it. Donald Trump is Lewis Carroll's Queen of Hearts. Off with his head, was the US President's essential suggestion for, to offer just one example, a certain whistleblower who fingered him on that now notorious Ukrainian phone call. And if the Donald hasn't also been playing the roles of White Rabbit, Mad Hatter, and other characters from Lewis Carroll's classic 19th century children's book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, then tell me what he's been doing these last years. Unfortunately, in attempting to explain the Trumpian world we've been plunged into, I'm not Lewis Carroll. If only I were, still I realised recently that, like Alice in Wonderland, I had gone down the proverbial rabbit hole and was still falling as if into a deep, deep well or through the very centre of the earth. Now Alice, if you remember, first had to follow a white rabbit with pink eyes who rushed by wearing a waistcoat. Suddenly pulled a watch from his pocket and said to itself, oh dear, I shall be too late. It then disappeared down the memorably large rabbit hole by a riverbank near her house in 19th century England. Willingly or not, I, and here I suspect I speak for most of the rest of us too, had little choice, given election 2016, but to follow our own rabbit down a 21st century version of that rabbit hole. It goes without saying that our rabbit, that famed impresario of unreality TV shows, was distinctly a white rabbit too. After all, Donald Trump would be the first to assure you that he's no Mexican rapist, nor compatriot of the recently dead Congressman Elijah Cummings, whom he labelled a brutal bully representing a rat and rodent-infested district of Baltimore, Maryland. In his own twitchy fashion, the president recently refused to throw out the first pitch at a World Series game in Washington, D.C., because he knew that the Secret Service would dress him up in a lot of heavy armour and he would, as he put it, look too heavy. In other words, he rejected his own armoured version of a waistcoat, a Kevlar vest, because it might, he felt, make him seem fat. This sort of thing, now our everyday reality, even Lewis Carroll might have had trouble inventing. And if any of this seems petty to you, keep in mind that never in our history has there been a pettier or more self-absorbed president. On his introduction to that baseball game, by the way, he was greeted with a chorus of boos and a first chance of lock him up. For those of you who remember Alice's Adventure in Wonderland with its classic John Tenniel illustrations, here's one image that I think captures our Trumpian moment. Alice, already in Wonderland, finds herself in a room with a door too little to exit through. It seems to me that since 2016, all of us have found ourselves in just such a room. Updated to include at real Donald Trump Twitter account with no exit in sight. On a small table, she suddenly notices a tiny bottle, which certainly was not here before. As Lewis Carroll describes it, round the neck of the bottle was a paper label with the words, "Drink me." Beautifully printed on it in large letters. After carefully checking to make sure it wasn't marked poison, Alice sipped the liquid in that bottle. It had, she reported, a mixed flavour of cherry tart, custard pineapple, roast turkey, toffee, and hot buttered toast. As she drank it, Alice found herself shrinking until she was 10 inches tall, just the size for that little door. She would later grow giant indeed in a world in which nothing seemed to remain acceptably normal-sized. Whenever Americans may think, including the 30% who make up Donald Trump's ever-loyal base, it seems to me that we've all shrunk quite a bit in the years since he entered the Oval Office, even as he's grown in his own strange way to gigantic proportions, Kevlar vest or not. Through no fault of their own, in the last election season, many of those who would become part of the base were already far down a rabbit hole of inequality and feeling an increasing sense of hopelessness. No wonder that recognizing a Queen of Hearts on their television sets ready to insult the surrounding world of political propriety, low-energy Jeb, Little Marco, Lying Ted, Crooked Hillary, they decided he would be the perfect messenger to give the finger to a Washington that had betrayed them. Were he ever to enter the White House, they assumed he might indeed take off the heads of some of those who had helped put them in such a spot. Since they undoubtedly had few illusions about just what sort of figure they were voting into the highest office in the land, they had no reason to reject or desert him almost 3 years later. Though admittedly his administration and a Republican Congress have only increased inequality in this country. Today we have Donald Trump in Blunderland and themselves still falling, they remain remarkably loyal to and anything but disillusioned with their very own Queen of Hearts. This is the Donald's truest moment in Blunderland. Now consider for a moment just how wondrous, in a sense, all of this has been. I mean, who, not in Blunderland, could ever have imagined that a bankrupted casino magnate and reality television host might essentially, like his lawyers recently, butt dial us all into a new form of unreality? Who could have imagined that any bizarre thought our very own Queen of Hearts had, or bit of braggadocio he tweeted or uttered, ISIS uses the internet better than almost anybody in the world, perhaps other than Donald Trump, would be the news of that day? Who could have imagined that, no matter how he insulted them, the fake news media would focus on him and him alone, assigning reporters to cover him in hordes that had been inconceivable in the pre-rabbit hole history of journalism? In other words, in media terms, whatever Donald Trump drank, it made him far bigger than anything else on this planet. And honestly, each day, when you tumble down that rabbit hole yet again, it hardly matters whether you're heading there via CNN, MSNBC or Fox News. What once would have been known as the politics of it all is now, in many ways, besides the point, in what I once termed the White Ford Bronco presidency, in honor of the car O.J. Simpson drove down a California highway in a long-gone moment of no significance that was nonetheless blanketed by the television news and watched by a nation. Still, given Lewis Carroll the credit he deserves for grasping something about 21st century America so long ago. After all, his book ends on what might be thought of as the Wonderland version of an impeachment trial. There, the blustering Queen and King of Hearts are eternally eager for the heads of everyone, whilst the jurors, small animals, birds and a lizard, desperately try to write down ridiculously irrelevant evidence. And Alice suddenly begins to grow ever larger as she watches the spectacle. much as it may anger Donald Trump, impeachment will be his truest moment in Blunderland. The one in which the focus on him will only become more extreme. Drink this. In fact, count on it growing to proportions never before imagined on this planet. All of us will, by then, have drunk that potion, and despite what Lewis Carroll imagined in balmier times, it has indeed proven a kind of poison. The question, of course, is, will the rest of us ever reach the bookending moment in which all the characters in Wonderland have turned back into so many playing cards, rise up into the air and come flying down upon Alice? As she beats them off, she suddenly awakens on that riverbank near her house, her head in the lap of her sister, who was gently brushing away some dead leaves that had fluttered down from the trees upon her face. Will we someday wake up too and discover that our version of Wonderland, the Donald Trump's Blunderland, was all a kind of strange dream? Or in our time, is our world might waking on the riverbank no longer be possible? In his acts, statements and tweets, in his very essence, Donald Trump is the living version of a mixed metaphor. I promise you. So it seems appropriate enough here to describe the Trumpian media madness that grips us today as episodes of Wonderland and Blunderland. With the help of that fake news media of his, Donald Trump has taken all Americans as hostage. And more than 1,000 days into his presidency, there seems little sign of rescue in sight. We are all in some fashion blindfolded, and somewhere in the distance we can hear the jeering of our self-promotional president. Yes, we are now all of us hostages in a country spiraling who knows where. Through Donald Trump might say he isn't so much the cause of our present dilemma as the symptom and bizarre personification of it. Of that is, the sudden and precipitous decline of the American imperium at home and abroad. It's hard to wrap one's head around all of this, in part because the very words empire and imperial aren't in the American lexicon, not when applied to US citizens anyway. And that's too bad, because they might give Americans a little perspective on the blunderland we find ourselves in and how we got here. Unfortunately, in the wake of the implosion of the Soviet Union in 1991, this country's leaders, who took such pride in presiding over what they boasted, the only indispensable superpower on planet Earth, managed to lead us into hell, a hell that is now Donald Trump. After years of the growth of the devastating inequality here and failed wars in distant lands, that unparalleled imperial power is now in deep trouble. And don't blame the Donald for that. As he's pointed out before, he didn't order the invasion of Afghanistan or the invasion of Iraq in the wake of the highly suspicious incidents of 9/11/2001. He wasn't the one who pursued what really should be known from the spread of terrorist groups in this period as the American war not on, but for terrorism. Perhaps it's time for us to pick up that other little bottle on Alice's table, the one that says, "Failing Empire, drink this." Because 40 years after that first hostage crisis, which itself was a crisis of empire gone awry, we are all hostages to the blunderer who would never have been in the White House if it weren't for a country that had already auctioned off its political system to the highest bidders, and its government to the national security state. You know, what Donald Trump likes to denounce as the deep state, though its thinking couldn't be more shallow. And here's the irony. Much as he decries it, he still can't help feeding it even more taxpayer dollars galore. Welcome, in other words, to Blunderland, a country already at the edge of oligarchy, with a feel of autocracy to it. Consider it an irony of the worst sort that the United States, founded in response to a mad King George and his British Empire, is now itself an empire on a downward spiral, whose populace is mesmerized by, distracted by a mad King Donald. After so many endless centuries of imperial struggle on a planet heading into a crisis of pyromania unlike any we humans have ever experienced, perhaps what we need is our own Lewis Carroll to record it all. Now drink this, O.U.S., to shrink to your real original size. The 13 New England colonies.